mention a special thought comes to mind. This is the sugi that many, many years ago said my first kabura on, way, way back. I didn't even make it myself. There was an author, Bocher, who helped me with it on this sugi. And the very, very beautiful sugi. I'm going to hope and pretend that very soon we are here, we'll be able to get into a schedule of kabura. And it's a one-day opinion, and I hope you'll get the, you said, it's beautiful, Marshall, unfortunately, the first. Now, we divide up the sugi into two parts. First one is a little shorter. We'll go as a hakdama into the Gemara before it brings in Eved Va'oma. The Eved Va'oma only comes in as a raya, but that raya becomes a whole sugi in itself. But I want to go into the Gemara itself before the raya. The Gemara came along, and the Gemara was explaining what is the Arba of the Zikr, what's Mavet. So we have a Machlokes, Shmuel. But the Gemara comes along, and the Gemara takes the Shita of Shmuel, and the Gemara wants to explain, what does it mean, Lo Yarei Sher Kerei Hamavet? Lo Yarei Hamavet Kerei Hasher. So the Gemara comes up, and we have a Machlokes between that Havamin in the Gemara and the, we'll call it the Maskon of the Gemara. What is the Chumrah by Karen and what is the Chumrah by Shein? The Gemara in the Havamina took on that the Chumrah by Shein, by Karen is that it does not have Hanok. Therefore, if the Torah would write it, we would not know shame. And the opposite way. If the Torah would only write shame, we would say the reason why you have to pay if a person's animal damages with shame, because there's no kavona lahazik. It doesn't mean to do anything wrong. That's why he has to pay. But Karen, since it's kavona lahazik, he would not have to pay. This is the first sheet in the Gemara. On that, the Gemara comes along right away and asks, V'lav kal v'chloimahu, it should be the opposite way. The fact that Karen is the animal damages with kavona to damage is more reason to pay. Right at this point, we have to think, what is the svaras hamachloikas? Why does the first sheet hold that there's less reason to pay if it's kavon lahazik, and why does the Gemara, and that's how we paskin, we come out the opposite way. Lachar, it's more logical, the second shita, that sure, the chumrah of Karen is kavon lahazik. On that, there's a very important tesis, and we'll just say over Bekitza the tesis and a little hezber from the Akronim. Yeah.
Let me say why kavon lahazik is better than kavon.
Why the first sheet that holds kavon lahazik is a reason not to have to pay. And then the Gemara changes v'lav kal v'chomer, holds that having kavon lahazik is a reason to pay. So Tosfos comes along, we'll just take Tosfos a little, we'll add on a hezbra to Tosfos, but basically what Tosfos says is, the first sheet that held that since it's kavon lahazik, it's harder to watch. In Shmirah, there's less responsibility on the master, because if something's easy to watch and you don't watch, you should have to pay. But the Gemara thought, since Karen Kavanos Lahazik, it's hard to control the animal, so there's less fault on the violence. This is what that much Taisha said, that it's harder to watch Karen. Now, after you learn this Taisha, you have to think, so why does the other man, the Yomar, say that Faker, that there's more reason to have to pay? The Taisha said a very good hezber in the Gemara, in the Havamina of the Gemara. Why does the Gemara change and hold that you do have to pay? So, yeah, L'chorah is right. So why does the Gemara change it around and say, V'lav kal v'chomer, that there's more reason to pay? Taisha just explained the good hezber in the first sheet of the Gemara, that you should not have to pay. First, it was trouble to understand the first one. But after we have Taisus Hezra, now we have trouble understanding. So why does the second, why does the Gemara argue on that? What's the logic on the opposite? So on that, we could say that the question between the Machlokes over here is in that famous Shaila which we already brought down. What is the main reason why the Torah says you have to pay for damages at all? The first sheet that will hold, the reason you have to pay is because of the carelessness of the owner. That's the main thing. The owning the mazik is just a way to be mechayev the person in shmira. He only has chiyuvei shmira on something that he owns. But why is the tashlumen, why is the payment come? The payment comes because he was careless. So therefore, that sheet holds very good. But Karen, where it's harder to watch, so we wouldn't know that the Torah makes you pay because there's less carelessness. Asha'en came to the second sheet of the Gemara argues. The second sheet holds that the reason why you have to pay is because you own it. Because you had in your possession a very piece of property that was a potential damage. If you watch, you can get out of pain. Then the watching, according to the second shita, is a way to get out of pain. But the reason for paying is from moment amazik, the fact that you own it. So therefore, since the Gemara takes on, Karen is a bigger mazik, because since it's kavanosa lahazik, so if you look at the object as a mazik, the Karen, it's an animal which sometimes can go crazy. I'm going into town and mood now. But the animal could be a vicious animal, and Kavon Lahazik could destroy whatever it wants. So in Momen HaMazik, even though it's Takahara to watch, but the reason that there's more reason you should have to pay, because in Momen HaMazik, it's a bigger mazik. I mean, Momen-wise, you own the shame, you own the same animal, whether you own the teeth of the animal or the horn. But in owning the mazik, not owning the animal, it's a bigger mazik. It's, you have more, it's more to worry about. Even though it's harder, the Gemara took on. If you're looking from the side of Momen HaMazik, as far as his ownership, he's owning a bigger mazik by Karen than Shem. This is the way that we're going to give over to be Mazger, it's the shackle of Italia, so that's why you should certainly have to. Shem is less of a mazik, because Shem, if you look at as far as the animal's just eating because the animal's hungry. So therefore, as far as looking at it as Momen HaMazik, looking at it as an object, as a vicious object, Shein is less of a vicious object than less of a destruction than Karen. No, the first one is looking at it from Chiyuv Pshia, from watching. So therefore, if it's harder to watch Karen, so there's less, so maybe the Torah didn't put on you such a responsibility to watch, to go out of your way to make such a hard watching. It's harder to watch, so maybe the Torah wasn't mechayev you such a shmira. And the fact that the Torah is mechayev you shmira on Shein is lo raya that you have a chiyuv shmira on Karen. Okay, now we go into the main sugya. The Gemara comes along, and the Gemara wanted to prove that the first sheet is right. The Gemara is to catch it to kal v'chomer. You should that Karen is even worse. You should have to pay. So the Gemara wants to bring her, no, Salkadat Khamina midi dahavya evid mahom. We would say that the reason why Karen is potter is because it's kavona lahazik. So it's hard to watch. Where do we find another place that it's something that's hard that has kavona to lahazik and you're also potter? That's the case of evid mahom. What is the case exactly? Where Reuven owns a slave, a man or a woman, and the din is that if this slave damages, Reuven does not have to pay. Now, the Gemara comes along, and the Gemara says, why doesn't Reuven have to pay? Because it's Kavanah Lahazik. The man and woman, when they decided to burn down or break somebody else's window, it was bekavona to damage. Now, the Gemara slugs up the raya, and the Gemara says, no, you cannot compare from the fact that Reuven does not have to pay for the damages of the Eved and Oma, it's no proof, no raya to carry. Because there's a special reason, which most Meforshim learn, it's a derabonan dike ptur. Midrabbanan, the Rabbanan said the Reuven doesn't have to pay, because if Reuven's going to pay, there could become problems that a spiteful Eved Omer could rack up $1 million bill for the master. And Midrabbanan, he does not have to pay. But Min HaTorah, technically, Reuven would have to pay for the damage. This is what you see from the Gemara. Now, at this point in the Gemara, there's many points to take apart. The Achronim come along and they show us that in this Gemara about Eved Va'omer lies many big yesodos which have to do with other parts of Mazikin, not only Eved Va'omer. The first point we have to know simply is that the Gemara is dealing with the responsibility of the master. Just like Shor, Karen, Shane, Regal. When we talk about paying, the question is, should the owner pay or should the owner not pay? So the Gemara brought down Eved Va'omer and told us that Reuven, that the master is putter to pay. But what about the Eved himself and the Omer himself? What about his field? So this, it says clearly, the Gemara and Baba Kama, and that's clear, that they technically have a field. That's another point we have to figure out. Technically, they have a field, but they have no money. But technically, they really should be responsible. If they would have money, then they would have to pay right away out of their pocket. We're dealing now, they don't have any money. And the Gemara is teaching us that the master does not have to pay midrabbanan, but min ha-Torah, the master would have to pay. These people, after, if for whatever reason the master did not pay, these people would also, the Eved Va'omer, when they would get free and they would acquire money, they would have to pay. So remember, we're just saying is the Gemara is talking about the chiyuv of the master. But the Mishnah in Baba Kama says that technically they have their own chiyuv, but they have no money to pay now. So therefore, we're not discussing their chiyuv. Because right now they have no money to pay, but they have a chiyuv. What we're talking about now is, what about the master who has money? Should he have to pay for these damages or not? So the Gemara comes out, the Maskana, he would have to pay. Technically, the master would have to pay, except for the Rabbana, the Gezerah, that they freed him from paying. And we must wait, now that the master doesn't have to pay, the person who got hurt will just have to wait until eventually they become free, and then they'll pay on their own. Now, the next point is, what kind of an Eved are we talking about? In the Torah, there are two types of slaves. One is an Eved Ivri and one is an Eved Kanani. An Eved Ivri simply means another Jewish man who was working for 6 years or Yovel, and he's considered an Eved Ivri. He has all mitzvahs, he doesn't lose. Only one thing, he's allowed to marry a Shifra Kananis, but technically he's 100% Jew. That's an Eved Ivri. The Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Yud Dalet says, Eved Ivri lav gufei koni. That means that technically the master does not own him physically. The master just has the right to ask him to work for him. That's an Eved. And any money that comes to the Eved, Masha Kona, Eved Kona Rabba. If the Eved finds something, what?
Say by Eved Ivri also?
This is all by Eved Ivri so far.
How much
that's by Eved Ivri. Poshet, that's by Eved Ivri. Eved Knani is by anything that he works for. I mean, he could have side money. Oh, somebody could give money to him. Metziah se'evid goes to the master. The Metziah from
Eved. Like
if somebody gives him money that the master should not own it, that's something else. You can give somebody and give him money on the Tanayim they should not. That's an Eved Ivri. Eved Kanani means a goy who had Mila Utzvila. He had to go through Gerus. He becomes, we'll call, a half a Jew. He's Mechoyev in mitzvahs like a woman. A special limit for that, law me'isha, that's the Eved Kanani. And an Eved Kanani is, the Gemara calls it kishayra v'chamara. A man can do whatever he wants, even if he kills the Eved, he's not 100% Jew yet. Depends how long it takes him to die. But an Eved Kanani is a half a Jew, a half a goy, and the master could work hard with him, he can make him a care, he's never allowed to free him, it's a whole. Technically, if he frees him for no reason, he's never on an essay. An Eved Kanani is like And the Gemara calls it Kisheri Bachamor. These are the two types of slave. Now, the simplest way to go through this Gemara is by Eved Kanani. This Gemara, that's the easiest, and if you look in Mishnayos Masechta Yadayin, it was the simplest way. The Rambam uses a Loshon, Hareyu Kimemoinai. The Rambam calls it easy, that easy. We're talking about such a slave that it's his money, his possession. The best thing is, the easiest way is Eved Kanani. What?
The
woman also has a fiyah to pay.
If they, it's not
Mamash woman. Yeah, Lola Isha. No, the dinim is to pay these in the Zika. The dinim, if he's a half a yid, he'd have to pay. It's a good point you're making. But he has, even if he's Eved Kanani, technically he broke somebody's window, he has his own fiyah. The easiest way is to go through Eved Kanani.
Well, why don't we say that if it's Eved Kanani, where you grow up, the husband has all the rights to the lock, to, you know, to whoever he wants, the mom will say he has to lock him up, like he has to lock up the show.
That's partly, and if no, well, technically it could be that's why the master has to pay, because he should have done it. That could be why.
It's the worst thing, he doesn't have to pay.
What?
The worst thing, he doesn't have to pay.
That's the Rabbanu, the Kigzeir. We're talking about Mitzad Adin. In the Torah, law, the Gemara says that he owns him, and it fits in very good in the Gemara. We're talking about Shor, Shein Verega, right? There, the master literally owns the animal. So the Gemara brings a proof from Eved Va'oma that where a man owns an Eved Kanani, and the Gemara wants to show he's part. The only thing is, the Lashon of Oma, usually we find by Oma Ivriya, by a Jewish, Oma Ivriya. So, Shivka, by a woman, by a Shivka Kananis, and which so Lachera, and also from the fact that Rashi brings Eved Ve'isha. Rashi, I don't want to go into the top Tosis, but I'll look at Rashi and Tosis says, from the Eved Ve'isha and Baba Kama, that Eved seems to be talking about also an Eved Ivri. So I'm showing you, basically, it's simpler to go through the Gemara that we're talking about an Eved Kanani, which is completely the possession of the master, like an animal, Shor, Bor, Mava, and Hever. But from Rashi, it would seem, Shekhanorach also, Sikol Mashma, even by an Eved Ivri. Later on, at the end of this year, you'll see it could be an Aftamina in different Pshatim. As things get deeper, again, we might come back to it if you have time. So, but let's, for simplify matters, let's work with an Eved Kanani that the master owns. Now, so again, we're talking about an Eved Kanani, and the Gemara proves that an Eved Kanani, the Gemara thought that why does the master not have to pay for the damages? Because the Eved Kanani, when he damages, it's Kavana Lahazik, and you see it's Potter. So the same thing should be by Karen, that a person should not have to pay for Karen. If it wouldn't say a Pasuk in the Torah, we would say that if a man owns a Tam or a Mu'ud, he doesn't have to pay, just like he doesn't have to pay for it. Now, the Afrenim come along, and they ask four or five questions on this Gemara. There are many questions that you could take apart from this Gemara. To make things simple, let's put all the kashas at the end of the Gemara. L'maskonas ha-Gemara, the Gemara comes out that the reason why the master does not have to pay for the damages that the Eved Kanani does is because of the special Drabbana Dikatakon. But min ha-Torah, he would have to pay. Cool. Fekh the Afroimim. Achronim is the Chazanish, and many Achronim work on this problem. The Moshe Zayin has a whole second siman on this, discussing this problem here. Why min haTorah should the master have to pay for the damages that the Eved incurred? The Eved Kanani went out and smashed somebody's window. He got him with somebody, went and smashed his window. Why should the master have to? Just because he owns the Eved Kanani is not enough. We spoke out in Shiurim. Our goal is in Zikah, that when the Torah says you have to pay if one of your property damages, it's only two conditions. You own it, and also you did not watch it. Now, that's only if you didn't watch it. So the question is here, even though he owns the Eved, we'll say by an Eved Kanani he owns him, but this is, as far as watching, L'chaira, he can't watch him because he can't. It's hard. How could you watch a human being, an animal? He eats and sleeps. That's all he does. You lock him up.
There's certain things that can be done. Like you have to warn him, not let him.
Well, good. You want to give a chance. So Reb Moshe, what? So Lachera, why men have Torah? We're talking about very basic lumdus over here. Why men have Torah? Does the Gemara take on that technically men have Torah? The master should have to pay because he owns the slave and the slave damaged. In Shmira, we say one of the conditions to pay is that if he was careless in his watching. So the kasha is, why do we look at him careless in his watching? It's very, how could he watch him in the first place? How do you watch a human being? Can you really lock him up? He's not going to work for you. When he's working, as soon as he's out in the fields, if he gets angry, he can always run away.
Sure, mama.
But there's no shmira. There's no shmira. You need shmira. You have to have the loyish shmirenu, just like the other mazikas. You have to be careless. Where's the carelessness on this end? He's not careless. How could he watch him? There's no xeris. What are you telling me xeris akosim? The dance, it says shor bor, but this is not shmira. Oh, but the child is, but this is a different kind of moment. This is a moment that there's no shmira. He can't be shemra. Now on that, in Ramosha, I saw two swords. One thing is, taka, like Avril said, the Gemara took on that it is taka possible to watch. You treat him never very good, and you teach him. It is possible shmira on a human being. And the second thing he says, a shar peloshin. He says, that wouldn't be just... That's not a reason. That's no excuse for the owner to be potter because he couldn't watch him. So you should have freed him. You shouldn't have had anything to do with him. If you can't watch him, so free him. I'll free him. That's only with no reason. But if you're freeing him, I was just waiting for that kasha. If you're talking about an Eved Kanani, you can't free him. Eved Ivri wouldn't be a problem. But if
why isn't that in the
he's also chayav an Eved Ivri, but he has no money to pay. We're talking about whether the master should have to pay now because he doesn't have yet.
Good,
sir. I tell you, two stories. Either it's possible he do, but the master has to do the best he can to watch it, or free him. Don't get involved with him in the first place.
Hold on.
Wait, I want to break it up in lumbus. We're going to get to the next step. So one kasha was that the master can't watch him, and that we answered. That the master could have watched.
You said that the master, that inside of him, that the master should have to pay, right?
Yeah.
So according to
because he owns him and he didn't watch him.
Let's say he didn't pay. Yeah, but then the Mishnah says that after he goes
through, they don't pull up
the
pay to the master. No, pay to the master.
Yes, repeat. So then it comes out.
If he laid out the money, if he would have to pay him, then he'd pay him back.
So like that, it comes out that the master's not really paying. It's really the whole chiyuv relies solely.
Oh, you see the end of this year. You're right. We'll see how the development goes. We're talking about, does the master have his own chiyuv? What? No, the chayim is really mechavim to the next step of this year. Listen, you'll see how it builds up. We're working on the kasha is, why should the master have to pay? The master could not make a shmira. So we're answering two reasons. Yeah, he could have made a shmira. Now they are trying to ask a different kasha. They ask a kasha. L'chaira, there's another reason why the master should still be potter, even if he didn't watch the Eved at all, but he should be able to say the Eved was the watcher for himself. Since the Eved is a human being with intellect, the master should be putter, just like if he takes an animal, hands it over to a watchman. So the master could say, I gave over my animal, even though I didn't watch, I gave it over to somebody else to watch. So in Lomdis, the master should be putter because the Eved was supposed to watch himself. So the master should say, even though I own him, but he was watching himself. The fact that he went with sugar, that's his problem. That's another question. Why should the master have to pay?
And right, because maybe the Baal has an Eved and an animal. He has to have to watch his prophet's experience.
It is, yeah. In the Gavali, because then it's...
That's right. I'm going to watch something else. Okay.
But what if it does damage to the Mishnah?
So on that, there are three truths. There are three truths on this problem. I'm telling you, each problem will keep going further and further. You'll see, you might have to give me a few extra minutes, but I want to, if it's tomorrow, start a new Indian. But if you hear it, yeah, big tails. One teretz is, there's a shita, the simplest teretz is, Well, he says he gave it over to a shaman. Who's the? In other words, he says that the slave is really the watchman on over himself. So one teretz. So the simplest teretz is that trying to bring down the Pnei Yeshua says in the sixth teretz later on that if a man gives over, let's say an animal, a mazik, to a shaman to watch, and then the shaman is careless. So both of them are responsible. The nizik can collect either from the shomer, because the shomer took upon himself to watch, or he can come back to the master and say, your shomer didn't do his job, so you have to pay me. So it's machlokes in that. But according to Rashi, according to what the Pnei Yeshua says in the sixth perek, we can answer that the reason why the master would have to pay, even though the master claims that the shomer, that the eved, the slave really should have been a shomer on himself, but obviously when the eved decided to damage and he went wild, so it's as if he was poshe in his shmira. So the owner has to pay. That's why the owner has to pay. He has to pay. Rashi, this is the way the Pnei Yeshua is medayik. Rashi sheet is that when a man gives over something to a shomer, and the shomer is careless, the owner also has to pay. Either one he can go to. So according to this, it would still be good to Gemara. One teretz. The second two teretzim is the Chazonish. Chazonish and Simon Gimel, Ois Aleph, a beautiful shtickle on this sugya. The Chazonish says like this. That's no problem. He takes it for two different reasons. One reason he says is like this. That the Eved, if you see that this was such an Eved, such a person who does not watch himself, you see that he decides, whenever he decides to damage, he doesn't control his anger, and he goes and does it, so he's not even a shamer. An Eved, a man is not called a shamer on himself. If you see, when is a shamer, you take an animal over to a person, you say, lock up the animal, so you give an object to somebody else to watch, and then if he's careless, so then you could say, I did my job, I gave it to a shomer. But when you tell a man to watch himself, and the man himself does not want to watch himself, you see, he couldn't trust him. So it's like he's loy milsa, it's like, it's not a shomer. There's no, he loses since, you see, the Eved decided to damage, and he didn't control himself. So the Chazoni says, so he's not a shomer at all.
Why don't we apply the
Adam Ulloyal in a Khanali. That's the story I'm trying to bring down that story. They do mention such a thing. Adam Ulloyal and Takada, and that would help us. That a person for himself is not called watching. Because one, as soon as he decides to damage, very good. I'm trying to talk about it. Very good. The second story is a beautiful chap from the Chazonish. Another reason the Chazonish says that the master cannot get out of paying by saying that the Eved that he owns is watching himself. So then he says, when can a man say, I gave over to somebody to watch, and therefore what do you want from me? That's only if the person who gave over to watch has money to pay in case something will go wrong. But here we're talking about, what's the case? The case is that the man owns an Eved. Now the Eved has no money, because he's an Eved. So therefore, the owner cannot say, what do you want from me? The Eved was watching himself. But the Eved has no money in the bank to pay in case there'll be any damage.
What would happen if he gave it to Shomer?
Who has money. So then he could say, I gave it to a good Shomer. A Shomer is not only a man who watches, a man who can back up the watching with money. So the Chazanish says that you also have to be a person who has money to pay.
Then we say, but it's been talk of Hayab now.
And that the Chazanish says not. The Chazanish says, since Pigiyosun Ra, since you know, you knew when you bought the Eved that he has no money to pay for his damages, so you don't look at him like a shomer. A shomer is only a person who has money to pay.
So I can't give something to a poor person to watch for me?
A poor person could work and get money. But here the Eved, he'll never have any money. As long as he's an Eved, he'll never get any money. A poor person, at least, if he'll work, or people give him presents, he'll have money. Here it's worse because the etzim he took away, he has no capability of even getting money.
And
it would also be easier. I'm saying the simplest. That's what I told you. The simplest way to go through is by Eved Kanan. There's a big lumpus from the Chazonish. Okay. So now everything's good, right? We're going back to the basic Gemara. Let's make sure we know what we're doing now. Yeah, now. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. So again, what we're trying to do is we're showing you how the Achronim who learned this Gemara, what did they learn in the Gemara? They saw in the Gemara that if a man owns an Eved Va'omah, he doesn't have to pay for his damages. So first the Gemara thought, why not? Because it's Kavanas Lahad. Then the Gemara says, no, really he would have to pay. Except the Rabbanim came along and freed him from paying because of the Gzera, maybe he'll come along and maybe the Eved will be spiteful. So the Achronim saw in this Gemara that an Eved, or technically, if not for this Gzera Derabbanah, min ha-Torah, he would have to pay. If a master owns a slave, and the slave damages, he would have to pay. I'm just going over quickly before we go weiter. So they asked Kashis, why should a master have to pay? One problem is the master couldn't watch. The second problem is that the slave himself is watching himself. And on that, we took care of both of these problems. Okay, now comes a new problem in the Gemara, a new piece. Okay, you got it so far? Now they come along with really a very lumpish kasha. They come along with, even if we solve all these problems, still, enough people. They found a reason, they found the chara, they asked Akasha, he shouldn't have to pay. You know why? Because it says in the Torah, our bovis mazikin, shor, bor, maver, hem. And they quote, they ask the Kasha from that same Tosfos in Daf Yud Zayin, where you see where the Tosfos has to find a special drasha, not only shame the behemoth, not only you have to pay. If the animal eats up something, but even if a bird or a beast. So they ask the Kasha, but where does it say an eved? A beast, a bird, it's all like an animal. But an eved va'omer are human beings. They're not like animals. There's no, from the laws of Shabbos, fakir, the Gemara, by the fakir, you can't stretch it. In other words, elecha ba'el kedusha. Just because the Torah says if you own shor, bor, mava, v'hever, you own these things, the Torah says you have to pay. Just so, therefore, just because you own an eved va'omer should be similar to it's a different category. It's like a bird. And so, Taisvis and Daf Yud Zayin brought a pasuk for a bird, but here there's no pasuk. So even though they didn't watch, and even though they own it, but let us say, and the Torah only told us these mazikim you have to pay. If you own them, you don't watch them, you got to pay for them. But if you own a human being, there's no special pasuk, there's no special way. Maybe the Torah says, and then you don't have to pay. Because just like you see by shame, you need a special pasuk to stretch it from a behemoth to a chayah, to a bird. So how do you know to stretch it even to an animal, even to a human being? What?
Neved is like a
shor. Oh, your tiny neved is like a shor. But they say that's only by Shabbos. By the laws of Shabbos, it says avdecha v'amoscha behemtecha. So the Gemara is only for special dinim they're compared. But stam in the Torah, neved, a human being is not compared to an animal. They work on that. He's compared to karka. Oh, karka, yes, but karka is not one of the four damages.
So the karka damages. So
how is it possible for karka to damage the board?
What we're saying is it's like a shor of chamars, like the same with also by nezakin. Like you're allowed to hit him, you're allowed to do if you want him.
It's good. No, you own him to shor of chamar. But as far as paying for its damages, maybe I said the shir in the beginning. I was preparing. You own them just like you own an animal, shor v'chamor. But that you should have to pay if you just like you pay for shor v'chamor, that you don't see. This is a kasha from the Granat, the Ravani.
The kasha is why the rice?
Why mean the rice would you have to pay? Then they come along nach tifa. This is the last kasha, and then you give me a chance, please. I'll tell you two beautiful ma'alchim that are going to answer all the kashas, to answer everything. They say like this. Not only is it shver, why should you have to that an eved va'omer, a human being, you can't just compare to an ox, to a man who owns an ox, because the Torah only says shor, the Torah says bor, the Torah is, but they ask even tifer. They say that from the Gemara you see that if a man, min ha-Torah, if a man went ahead, if a man owns a slave, and the slave went ahead, and he took a fire, he burnt somebody else's field. So the Gemara says, Midarabonan, you don't have to pay. But Min HaTor, you would have to pay. So you see from the Gemara, not only would the master have to pay if the slave smashes somebody's window, but even if the master, even if the slave made Eish, made a fire and burned. Now that's a chiddush. Why? Because we know by Shor, if a man has an act, if a man, if one of the four mazikim, let's say Shor, what would, if a Shor does not damage directly, but the Shor makes a fire and the fire damages, the Gemara says clearly, the owner of the animal doesn't have to pay. Because it says only if the animal directly, or if the man himself made the fire, Ish Eish, Kiyavir Ish Eish. But if
one of the four Nezikin?
Directly. One of the four Nezikin damage. But if one of the four make a second of the four.
That's all. One of the four make a second.
Then you pop it.
Must be one of the second four?
Yeah, because that's the only four we're dealing with.
And by regular
fires. What? If regal, that's right. If he goes ahead and he takes a fire, if a shur takes a fire, that's right. Or I'll give you another example. What would be if an animal digs a bore? A man's animal, who he didn't watch, goes out, instead of goring, catch this. If you get this up, it'll help you open up a lot of other gemoras. The animal does not gore, share, Karen, Shane, or regal. The animal makes bore. Well, the animal makes a fire. So we have psukim, ish bor, voloi shor bor. You don't have to pay. So the kasha is, in this Gemara we see, not only is the Gemara looking at a man who owns a slave, that you have to pay for the damage of the slave, but you'd even have to pay if the slave makes a fire. So you see from this Gemara, that's even harder to understand. It's hard enough to understand if the slave punches somebody or knocks somebody in the teeth. Why should he have to pay? What do you want from the master? And you can't compare it to Shor. But the Gemara even says that you have to pay for if the slave would make a fire. So you see, obviously, from this Gemara, that something's very strange here. That we're making the master pay for even things that he wouldn't have to pay if his animal did. So where does it come from? Where does such a chiyuv come from? So I set up in different stages. The kasha, the kasha before this was he shouldn't have to pay if the slave damages with his hand. But now it's even a bigger kasha. Why the Gemara says you'd even have to pay if the slave doesn't damage directly, but the slave makes a fire. Now where do we get such a chiyuv from? From Nizke Momen? From an animal? From Shor? By Shor, you wouldn't have to pay if the Shor made a fire. This is all the kasha. So the Chazon Ish and the Granat come along and they say adults. They say we have to learn a new pshat completely in this Gemara. The Chazon Ish and the Rav Naftali Trop. He was Rosh Yeshiva in the Chofetz Chaim's yeshiva, the Granat. I have to get it. He has shiur on the Masechta, and he says when the Gemara had a hab, when the Gemara, that which the Gemara said, that a master would have to pay for the damages of his slave, it's nothing to do with his kemamim. It's not because he owns the master just like he owns Shor, Bor, Mav, and the heaven. It's not because we look at the slave like Nizkei Mamon, like one of his property that damaged. Because all these kashas, we don't have any pasuk for it, and why should you have to pay if the slave made a fire? They come along and they'll say Bekitzer. They say like this. The reason why you have to pay is simply because since the master took away all the money, took away the money rights of this slave by buying him, by acquiring him, so just like when he acquires all the money rights and all the money, he gets all the debts, all the chiyuvim that the slave himself is really have to pay, carry over to him. And that's what I think Moshe, you mentioned, does it go first? That's talking, in other words, the chiyuv is mainly based for the damage to the slave, because the slave is a Jew, is a person. But since the master has ownership on the slave,
like a title search, you make
that. That's right. It goes back to the one who owns it. What's the right he talks about? I'm waiting for that. Yishmak. So Moshe said, if it's a whole different type of responsibility, what's the Gemara comparing it to Kavana Lahazik? Now, what's he doing in this Gemara with Shor? That's Samish on the nail. That I'd rather not spin up. That's a shaila, how to put the pshat in to the Gemara. The Chazalini speaks about it, and he works it out. He works it out. You can work it out yourself.
It's not that hard. You can just give different reasons. It's not how it's pushing
up. No, all right, you can say, but let me, this is every second counts. It's not fair to you to keep you long, but I still have two or three steps for Kisser that is beautiful. And they bring a raya from the Rambam. Listen to this, Gwala. They bring a raya that the chiyuv that the master would have, if not for the din derabbanan, that the master would have to pay for the slave is not because we look at him like one of the obvious nezikim. Because if you look at the Rambam does not put this law of Eved V'Omer in Hilchas Nizkei Mamon, which deal with damages. He puts it in Hilchas Geneva, in the laws of stealing. And the Rambam says, if a man has a slave, and the slave steals, so midrabbanan, he doesn't have to pay for the stealing, he doesn't have to pay kefil and keren. So the question is, why did this Gemara is talking about damaging. Why did the Rambam switch it over and change the case of the Gemara to stealing?
There's no Gemara about stealing.
There's no Gemara about stealing. The Rambam himself makes that case. So they want to bring a raya that the Rambam is teaching us that it's simply carrying over the debts of the slave. So therefore, the Rambam doctor didn't want us to think that we should look at the slave like an animal that you own that's damaging. So the Rambam switched it to put it by the laws of Geneva.
The end,
he says, v'chein. He says v'chein, but it's v'chein. It should have been the reverse. He should have put it in Hilchas Nizkei Mamon and then say the same thing you can apply Geneva. By him switching it, he's teaching us the amkus, the yesod of the chiyuv is that. If you look at because whatever the Eved has a chiyuv of to paying back his debts, so he carries over. Since he owes the Eved, he carries over the debts. Finish off in a half and give me 60 seconds or less. I'll tell you over just the Reb Chaim Brisker, Chaim Lebrocha, at the end of Bukhaz Gzela. He holds not. Nam is the opposite. He learns the whole Sugya not like and the Granat. He learns, you'll have to say, that he looks at the Eved like one of the Arbavis Nezikis. Like Moshe's time. Since the moment you own him, just and you didn't watch him, and there's all the Torah that we said to now, the Chazoni says, no, I mean, the Chaim Brisker, the last piece in Hilchos Gzeilah, that an Eved, if a man owns an Eved, it's the Moincho, Shvuros, and all that. And when he breaks a window, and if he makes a fire, also you'll have to work that out. You look at Rav Moshe, he owns the Eved, and he has to pay for the Eved who made a fire, even though if his animal made a fire, he'd be potter of Moshe, I'm throwing this in Aga. Rav Moshe explains, Rav Moshe also goes like a Chaim Brisker. Not like the Chiddush, that this new din of the Chazonish and the Granat. But he says like this, I'll just finish off, it's Mosik Midrash. He says that he brings a raya from the Rambam, like it's Siyestika, why did the Rambam put this law, if the reason why the master would have to pay is because his slave did the damages, so he has it's his property that damaged. So why did the Rambam put it by Hilchas Gzela, this law? So Reb Chaim says the Rambam wants to teach us a different thing, that whenever a person steals, he's also damaging. That's the Chiddush in the Rambam. That's the Reb Chaim Brisker, the Shitasai, who learned that the whole Gemara, that really, that an Eved is just like Shor, Arba, Ovis, Nezikin. So he put it by Gzela to teach us that the reason why, if not for the Derabbanan Dikadin, if a man would have to pay for the stealing of his slave, because whenever his slave steals, it's as if the slave damaged. In every stealing, remember I said in the beginning, this is where it comes from. This is where it comes from. This was, I told you, that the high risk is you say this every zayla, every time you steal, you're also damaging. So it comes out working very good. That's why the Rambam put it by zayla to teach us that it's takaniske mom. But you see all these kashas that led the Chazonish and then the Rav Naftoli, the Granat, to say it, that it's a whole different chiyuv. According to Chaim Brisker, he doesn't hold that, and he creates the whole sugya, mamish, just like our brothers.
It's very...